Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It is 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on New Visions Radio. We hope you remember to set your clocks forward.
I was just going to say, we'll have to change our time.
That's right. We're still on at 7 p.m., but now we're on, I think we call it Daylight Savings Time, right? Yeah. So we're really happy to have you here this evening. We're here every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the chance to be here.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to just study God's Word with folks who want to listen.
Amen. So just to learn a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, before we get started, Ed, could you tell us a little bit about this ministry? What do we do?
Yes, we're located in Stanton, Virginia. We're just a small little ministry that meet on Wednesday evenings for a Bible study. We have a church service on Saturday or the Sabbath with a Bible study starting at 9:30 and our regular church service at 11. And we have this radio program to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And if you'd like to be a part of our Bible study on Wednesday nights, which is we have at Eastern Time, 7 p.m., how do they get a link from us?
Well, you can contact me at ed@prophecyhope.com or
you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our email address, there's a general address, office@prophecyhope.com. Also, when you go to the website, which is prophecyhope.com, okay. You're hearing that a lot. When you go to that website, you'll find about 400 different sermons. And you'll find lots of these radio programs archived there as well. So if you've missed any, you can go back and catch them. And the other thing is, please bear with us. We've been transitioning web companies. And sometimes when you go to the website, especially in the last week or so, it doesn't always come up. So you may have to hit that refresh button from time to time.
Right. Now, we also stream our Sabbath service live on the internet. You can just go to the website, and there's a place you can look for a stream button, a big old red stream button.
There's a big red stream button, or if you just go across to the left side of the page, you'll see right at the top it says live stream. And we do meet, that was mentioned, on the biblical Sabbath, which is Saturday morning.
Right.
And as the other thing I want to tell you is we are planning, each year we do a Bible prophecy series, and we're planning to do that this coming September. We're in 2023. I'm thinking about the Bible series. Yeah. Today is March the 12th, 2023, and this coming 2023 September, we will have a Bible series from the 20th through the 23rd. So it'll be 2023.
Yeah. That should be easy to remember.
It should be.
And we'll be streaming that as well, right?
We will stream that, yes. And we archive those on the website in case you can't be there. And we'll give you more information on the topics and those things as we draw closer. And I think, is that about it, Ed? Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to continue some of the things we've talked about in the past about this man, Saul, who was persecuting Christians, who became a Christian himself.
Right.
And his name was changed to Paul. But before we start, would you mind having an opening prayer for us, Ed?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time to come together to open your word and to see what it's all about. Today we're going to be looking at the life of Paul. And Father, we just ask for wisdom and understanding if we look at the changes that occurred in this man's life through your son, Jesus Christ, and how those same changes can occur in our lives as well. So please give us wisdom and knowledge as we study these things. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, before we begin, Ed, you mentioned how this man, what we're studying about today, this man Saul who became Paul. I just wanted to say we're blessed today to have a friend visiting us from Greece.
Yes.
And if we get far enough in this study, we're going to be talking about Greece.
Yes.
And it's pretty amazing. He's here in the studio. It's his first time here in the States. He's visiting with us, and it's just great to have him here. Yeah. And maybe, we don't know, we'll see what happens, but maybe next week He'll be on the air with us, and he can give us some historical things that you and I have never been there.
Right.
But he knows this region. I don't know that he grew up there, but he knows this area and he knows the history of the area. And it's really good to have that background.
Right.
So, Ed, where are we headed today?
Let's go to Acts chapter 16.
Okay.
And let's start with verse 11. And Mark, maybe you could read verses 11 through 15. I want you to read these because I can't pronounce the names of these towns.
I don't know if I can either. Well, let's see. All right. So we are in Acts chapter 16, and you want me to begin in verse 11?
Yes.
Through 15?
Through 15.
All right. It says, therefore, and I'm reading from the New King James, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to, it looks like, Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which was the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us.
So in verse 13 it says, and on the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was usually made.
Yes.
So what day is the Sabbath?
Well, we know the Sabbath to be the seventh day of the week. And it's interesting to me, Ed, that this is after Jesus' death and resurrection.
Right.
So here we have these Christian people meeting together on the biblical Sabbath, on the same day that Jesus came to, he rested on that day.
Right.
And it was his custom to go and worship on that day.
So this lady Lydia was there. She was known as a seller of purple,
mm-hmm.
who worshiped God,
right?
Loved God, whose heart the Lord or Christ opened so that she attended to the things that were spoken by Paul. What do you think he spoke about?
I would think that Paul was going to speak the gospel. He was going to tell them, teach them about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the things that Jesus came to do for humanity.
Notice what the results of that preaching was.
Okay.
Verse 15.
All right.
Not only was she baptized, but
her
she
household.
And her household.
Yeah. So her whole family, they must have heard the message.
And they believed.
And they believed it.
And decided to be baptized.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at this, a lot of times we think that, And I come up in a background where I was taught that, well, if you're going to be baptized, you have to meet certain qualifications.
Right.
But when we look at the Bible accounts where these people have been baptized, the only requirement at that moment was that they believe.
Yeah, believe in Christ Jesus.
It wasn't. They didn't say, well, wait a minute. You know, you have this little problem. You have this sin that you're hung up on. No, if you believe and you're baptized and you receive Christ,
yes.
He can help us to overcome
yes,
those things.
Exactly.
So we can be baptized at the moment that we know Christ. If he'll come into us, that helps us to overcome.
Right. Exactly.
So the things that I was taught all of my life, you know, it's in fact, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, Ed. Growing up, my wife and I grew up in the same church.
Right.
And she went to the church elders, which is normal. She went to the church elders and said, I would like to be baptized. And they said, well, first we want you to go through all of these different doctrines. And so she had to learn the doctrines of the church. She went through it. She went over all of the questions that they had lined up, and she answered them correctly. And then when they were done, they said, well, you know, we'd really like you to wait a little bit because we'd like to see you have a more active ministry.
Wow.
So they were holding her back, and she... Why would they do that? This is the problem when we get men involved versus when we just follow the word of God.
So is baptism? Are you being baptized into a church, into a belief system, or are you being baptized into Christ?
What a great question. And this is a good question that those of you who are listening need to ask yourselves. Because when I grew up, I was baptized into a church, into the denomination, and I didn't even realize it because that's what I grew up with. But according to the Bible, according to this lady and her whole family were baptized because of the faith they had, not because they were related to a church.
They heard the message, were convicted, they believed, and they were baptized.
Yes. And so it really shows, and I think, Ed, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you grew up in a denomination where you were likely baptized into the denomination.
Yeah.
Isn't that something, how that happens?
Yeah. At the time I was 12 years old. I had a relationship with Jesus.
Sure.
I knew why I was being baptized. Mm-hmm. But like you said, baptism was into the church.
Right. Yeah.
I can remember a story of Jesus where he sends the disciples out two by two, and they preach the gospel. They heal people through the power of Christ that's given them.
Right.
And they come back so excited and say, telling Jesus everything that happened. And he says, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven.
Amen. Yeah. And that's the thing. We a lot of times equate what denomination or what church or what fellowship we're with.
If you have membership in a church.
Yeah, we equate that with, well, I'm saved because of this.
No, my name's saved on the book of the church, so I'm okay.
You see, that doesn't save us.
No,
it's the blood of Jesus that saves us.
Right.
And faith in the fact that he came and shed that blood. And this is the message that Paul preached. This is what he was preaching to these folks. So where are we going next, Ed?
Continuing on in chapter 16 with verse 16.
Okay.
This is going to be an exciting story.
Okay.
You don't want to miss it.
All right?
We're going to take it sections at a time, okay?
That sounds good.
I'm going to be reading from the New Modern King James Version, starting in Acts 16:16. And as we went to prayer, it happened that a certain girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by divining. She foretold the future.
Yeah.
People paid money to hear, what she was about to tell them.
Right.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servant of the Most High God, who are announcing to us the way of salvation. And she did this many days. But being distressed and turning to the demonic spirit, Paul said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her in that hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain went out, having seized Paul and Silas, they dragged them to the market before the rulers. Bringing them near to the judges, they said, these men, being Jews, are exceedingly troubling our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, nor do, being Romans. And the crowd rose up against them, and tearing off their clothes, the judge ordered them to be flogged. And after laying on them many stripes, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a command, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So let's talk about what's happening here.
Okay.
There's this girl that started following Paul and Silas as they were preaching the gospel. And she continuously cried out, these men are the servants of the Most High God who are announcing to us the way of salvation, which was true. But it was a demonic spirit saying this, trying to disrupt the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah, or sort of mocking.
Yes.
Right? And, in the translation in the New King James, it says in verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation."
Oh, wow.
So that sounds like this is a good message.
Yes.
But really, it's amazing how Satan can throw something out there, but he's doing it in a negative connotation. And the next verse it says, "And this she did for many days, but Paul," it says, "greatly annoyed."
Yeah.
In my translation.
Yeah, this says being distressed.
Yeah, mine says greatly annoyed. I've been there. He turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you," and I love this, Ed. He doesn't say, "I command you."
Right.
He does say, "I command you," but how?
In the name of Christ Jesus.
This is so important. This is so important. You and I, no human being can take on the adversary ourselves. We have to remember that. So many times you might think, well, I'm a Christian, so I can denounce.
Yeah.
You can't do it without the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We must do it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting account. It really is.
So this lady, you know, having lost her ability to foretell the future,
mm-hmm.
now the people that she was working for were no longer making money.
That's right.
That upset them.
Sure it did.
To the point that they grabbed hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before, apparently there were judges there,
mm-hmm.
and they accused them of teaching laws and customs that were not lawful for them to receive.
Right.
And so they stirred up the people, stirred up the crowd.
Mm.
And the judges took their clothes off from them and laid on them many stripes and threw them into prison. What do you think that means, laid on them many stripes?
They were beaten. They were actually beaten.
So they had stripes on their back from the open flesh, from the bleeding flesh.
Yeah, it was probably, they used, it says in my translation, rods. It could be whips or it could be rods. It says in verse 22, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. That's what it
says.
And
so they put them in prison,
mm-hmm.
but not just anywhere in the prison. They put them in the most secure location possible, in the inner part of the prison.
Correct.
And put them in stocks. What does that mean, putting them in stocks?
You know, it doesn't mean investments.
Yeah.
These stocks were, now, the ones that I have seen, now, I don't know what they were like at that time, but the ones that I have seen that were used in medieval times, it was like you put your head and your arms and maybe even your feet in these wooden locks, and they would actually lock you in these things to where you couldn't, your hands were suspended out from your head and your legs were suspended out in front of you.
Yeah, the holes were large enough for your arm to fit in, but too small for your hand to come back through,
right.
And your feet to come through.
Right. It has to be an extremely uncomfortable place to be.
We've been talking about Paul and his conversion. Paul was considered by the name Saul prior to his conversion.
Mm-hmm.
He's having things done to him that he did to other people.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
But he has been converted by Jesus Christ and now loves and believes and follows Jesus Christ and preaches the message of Christ.
And in spite of that persecution, right?
Yeah. Let's look at Paul and Silas's response in verse 15.
Okay.
Can you read verse
25? Sure. It says, Acts 16:25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them."
Okay. They were preaching the gospel. This mm-hmm. lady annoyed them. They cast out a demon through the power of the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They were grabbed hold, taken to the judges, beaten, and thrown in the most secure part of the prison. And they're praying and praising God, singing praises.
You know, it's amazing that that's the case, but I've heard of this happening even in recent times. People have been persecuted and they sing hymns. And think about that, Ed. What's it say there at the last part?
The prisoners listened to them.
So
they were witnessing in prison.
Yeah, so when you think of a hymn, Do certain words or lyrics come to mind when we're singing? I mean, aren't there certain words that we sing when we sing hymns?
Yes. Most hymns, at least the older hymns, have the message of the gospel in them.
Yes. Yes.
How great thou art, amazing grace, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'm not sure what the hymns were back then, but that's what I think of now, that tell the story
today
of the gospel.
Absolutely. In fact, there have been times that we have been in church together and we'll sing a hymn and you'll say, wow, the message in that is so
yes.
powerful.
Yeah.
So obviously, because, you know, and that moves you, doesn't it?
Yes.
So when they're singing these songs, you know, music is a very emotional thing.
Yes.
So they're singing these hymns together. Who knows? They may have been harmonizing, you
yes.
know, and they're listening to the words and they're hearing the gospel preached
yes.
to them through that song.
And knowing that these men are in prison, you know, just like they are. So maybe that gives them some kind of authority in their lives because they're experiencing the same things that the other prisoners are experiencing.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe that gives them some reason to listen to their prayers and
right.
to their songs that they're singing.
And I wonder how many of those prisoners that were there were comforted by the things that they were hearing.
Right.
And
right.
and maybe they became believers
right.
as a result. You know, the amazing thing too, Ed, is don't ever doubt the message that is in those hymns and how they can touch people's lives.
Yes.
I was at a camp one time at a meeting, and there was a person there. Someone sang a song, and the tune was so moving, and the lyrics were so moving, that that person decided at that moment that they wanted to give their life to Jesus.
Right.
I was there when that happened.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes in music and song, you can express emotion and thoughts from the heart that you can't do with words alone.
Very true. Very true. In fact, the psalmist David, think
yes.
about that, the whole book of Psalms,
yeah.
that's what it means, songs.
Yes.
So we have King David wrote a lot of praise music to our Heavenly
mm-hmm.
Father. And so don't ever doubt the power of music. And that also, you know, we have to be careful of the lyrics that we sing.
Right.
That's a lesson we need to take from
right.
this as well.
So can I ask you to read verses 25 through 29 again?
Sure, 25. I want to start in 25.
Yes.
It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas."
I don't know what I would do if I was in prison, but if there was a chance to escape, I would seriously consider taking that chance.
Yeah, I think we all would.
But yet, Paul and Silas trusted in God.
That's so important.
Not only that, they had concern for this man that was overseeing the jail. They had concern for his life.
Sure. Yeah, he was going to take his own life because
yes.
he was afraid that he'd lose his job or they'd do something worse to him.
Yeah.
Because the prisoners would be gone.
But Paul says, you know, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. None of the prisoners escaped.
So let me ask you, Ed, when I read verse 26, yeah, that's right, we are all here.
Yeah.
You're right. Verse 26, when it says there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, do you think that was just by chance?
No. Not at all. This is the power of God working in men's lives.
Yeah, because it's very specific.
Yes.
Because it says, it doesn't just say that the foundations were shaken, but it says immediately, not just a couple.
Right.
All the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed.
Yeah. How does the earthquake break chains, the bonds of chains, you know?
Yeah, you know, and really, when I read this verse, when we come to Christ, Aren't there chains loose yes. from us?
Yeah, there's an old-time radio program I used to hear once in a while called Unshackled.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Unshackled, huh?
Unshackled.
Okay.
Being released from sin.
Wow. Yeah. And that's what this is. This can represent that yes. very thing.
Yeah. So let's continue reading here and see what's going on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start with verse 29. Then asking for a light, he rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And leading them outside, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Wait a minute. They said, "You need to come to our church."
Well, I have a question even before that.
Yeah?
Why did he ask that question? Had Paul and Silas been witnessing to him?
He must have been moved by not only what he saw, but by the hymns, by the witness that was taking place.
Yeah.
And, you know, it must have made them wonder, why are these men here? What are they doing in prison?
Yeah.
I would be asking that question.
Right.
If there were people in the cell and they're singing and praising God, and they're obviously their character has to be different from a prisoner,
yeah.
why are they here?
Yeah.
What are they here for?
Let me start in verse 30 again.
Okay.
And leading them outside, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Mm. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your household." Verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his household.
Mm.
He preached the gospel. He told them about Jesus and salvation through Christ.
That's it. That's it. Let me ask you, do you think these men, these ones who were there, were excited about the message they heard?
I think the events that have happened must have caught their attention.
Absolutely.
They must have wanted to know the truth of why all these things are occurring. They wanted to understand what Paul and Silas were singing and praying and talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they shared with them.
You know, I don't know that the account tells us, Ed. Were you going to say something? You go ahead.
I wondered what kind of needs they had in their hearts and minds and lives before they met Paul and Silas.
Mm. Mm. That's a good question.
Had they already recognized there was something missing in their lives?
It's possible. Sometimes it's a instantaneous thing, like the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
He didn't realize, I don't think he knew up until that moment, but maybe these men had thought about those things.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, yeah.
Yeah, and I often wondered, you know, when I read through an account like this, you know, Paul was a pretty well-known man, and I wonder if they knew of his change that he had of heart.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, were there rumors floating around? You
right.
know, all of these things come to my mind right. when I think about these accounts.
Right. Let's continue on. Verse 31, I'm going to read this again. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your household."
Mm-hmm.
And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his household. This is the jailer.
Right.
And taking them in that hour of the night, he washed from their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his, immediately.
Yeah, mine says all his family were baptized. It puts the word family in there.
He took care of the wounds of Paul and Silas.
You know, isn't that what Jesus does?
Yeah.
He takes care of our wounds.
Yes, he heals them.
So we see the Christ-like personality taking this. This is a transformation.
Yes.
Is what we're seeing here.
Yes.
A complete change of character.
Yes. And what was the result, the decision that the jailer and his family made? They were baptized
yeah.
immediately.
Yeah, no delay.
Now is the time of salvation.
You know, I was in a Bible study last night, and I made that very statement.
Yeah.
Today is the day of salvation,
yeah.
right? This, think about that, friends. It's not saying, well, you know, examine yourself and think about it.
Yeah.
Today is the day of salvation. Examine yourself and say, do I need to be changed today?
Right. You know, some people may say, I'm not good enough.
Who is?
Exactly. In fact, that's the very reason Jesus came, is because we are not good enough.
Right.
And I know I used this example before, but Charles Spurgeon would say to that person that says, I'm not good enough, he would say, how fortunate you are. Mm. Because that you're the person Jesus came to redeem.
That's right. You don't go to a hospital if you feel well, unless you're going to visit someone,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You don't intentionally just stay in a hospital if you don't need the assistance.
Right.
So we all need Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We are all sick in a literal sense.
Yes.
In a literal sense. We're all sinners.
Yeah.
So we need to come to Jesus.
Jesus will... The blood of Christ forgives us of our sins.
Mm.
And his life empowers us to overcome sin in our lives.
Yeah. That's we've talked about that,
yes.
haven't we?
Yeah.
And we will continue to talk yes. about that because that's the gospel.
Yes.
Not just showing us where we've gone wrong, but helping us to overcome those things.
Yeah. I love this next part. Can you finish the chapter at
sure.
verse 34?
All right. Acts 16:34, it says, Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, Let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, you wanted to say something, Ed?
No,
keep
going.
Okay. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out, and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed.
That is so... I want to use the word funny, but I don't know if it's appropriate.
Well, I know what you mean. It's ironic,
yeah.
I would say.
You're in prison, and you say, I'm not going out until they come to let me out.
Yeah, you know, he wanted to be a witness. This
yeah.
is another way to be a witness.
Right.
So, you know, I've never been imprisoned.
No.
Never. And I've never been beaten for being a Christian. I've never
right.
been persecuted.
Right.
You know, I've been picked on,
yeah.
but that's not persecution.
Right.
Big difference.
Right.
But, you know, in a sense, I remember... I was part of a church at one time, and they actually invited me to join the church.
Okay.
And so, you know, we talked a little bit, and I told them, well, you know, I don't believe every doctrine, but, you know, and they said, well, that's okay. So I joined the church, and then later on, that doctrine that I told them I didn't believe became a problem for them.
And you were maybe persecuted a little bit for that.
Yeah, I took a little heat for it.
Yeah.
Nothing like what we're reading
right.
about in the Bible.
Right.
But I took a little heat for that, of course. And the interesting thing is someone came to me, one of my good friends. He's still a good friend. He came to me and he said, you know that the church wants you to leave. And I said, well, you know, they invited me. If they want me to leave, they can ask me to leave.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing when
yeah.
I'm reading this. They want me to, if they ask me, I'll go.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to, they had the pride to ask me to come in. Now they can ask me to leave.
Right.
And eventually, it took a few years, but they did.
Yeah. You know, verse 40 is interesting. Here, Paul and Silas
mm-hmm.
have been beaten, put in prison, had this experience of witnessing to the jailer and his family and all this issues with the officials and the judges. And they went to the house of Lydia, who we had just learned about, was
right.
a recent convert. And seeing the brothers, they comforted them and departed. It was Paul and Silas that was comforting the other believers.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
In spite of what they had been through.
The ones who had been beaten and thrown into
yeah.
prison are encouraging the others.
Yeah.
So... You know, I know a man who was wrongfully accused, was put in prison, not jail,
right?
Prison, And I felt so bad for him. And I thought, wow, you know, all the evidence is there. You shouldn't be there. And he says, you know what? This is great. The ministry that I have in here is so much more effective than what I could do out. He was glad to be where he was.
I remember you telling us that story.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And he still, he has a very, he hasn't, he's almost served his term.
Uh-huh.
But he's, of course, he would like to be out, but he kind of regrets that that ministry, the fruitage that he's produced mm-hmm. in there has been tremendous.
If I remember right, I think you said he had like about 30 men he was studying with.
It was more than 25. I don't remember, but he has these Bible studies, and these people, when they get out, so many times when people get out of prison, they'll return to their lifestyle.
Right.
But a number of the people who have been released have continued that walk.
Amen.
And that, what a blessing that is.
Oh, man.
You know,
not only continue that walk, but other witnesses there are now out in the world witnessing of what Christ, the power of Christ can do in your life.
Amen. And this is what we see happening here.
Yes.
And, you know, it's amazing to me that the same spirit that moved these men of old mm-hmm. is still working today.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we equate these miraculous things to, well, that was back then.
Yeah.
How do we say it? People say back in Bible times. But
yeah.
What do you say about that?
Well, aren't we living in Bible times right now?
Yeah.
The Bible's prophecies haven't been completed yet. We're still living in those times.
That's exactly right. We're still living in Bible times. So yeah. Why should we expect anything less than what happened then? And maybe even more so.
Right.
Because Jesus, what was Jesus' promise? These things that
he
you
said,
see?
You know, it's important that I go away and that mm-hmm. I can send the comfort to you. And greater things than what I have done will be done.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you think, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Well, if Jesus said it, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. So what a miraculous account this is.
Let's continue the story in Acts 17.
Okay.
And again, I'm going to ask you to read verses 1 through 9.
Okay.
Mainly because I can't pronounce the names in the first verse.
Ed, you're so funny. All right, so 1 through 9. Here we go. Acts chapter 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. I'm thinking of Jesus' ministry of three and a half years. Isn't that terrible that my words get mixed up like that? Verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ."
Is the Messiah, is what he's saying.
Yes. That's exactly what he's saying. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Jason had harbored them, and these are acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, "There is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go.
Okay, it's just such an amazing contrast of who Paul has become.
Yeah, it is.
A witness for Jesus, the one that he persecuted for quite a while. He persecuted the early Christian church. Now he's willing and wanting to proclaim the gospel no matter
at
what.
At any cost.
At any cost.
We talked about counting the cost weeks ago, didn't we?
Counting the cost of following Jesus.
And Saul, who became Paul, well knew the cost.
Look how effective Paul's ministry is. Look at verse 6.
Okay.
Certain brothers before the city judges crying, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.
Wow. So they really changed things up. Everything was opposite of what they would expect.
Yeah. These men are saying that Paul and Silas have brought this message everywhere and has caused an uproar everywhere, has turned the world upside down from what we know is normal.
Shaking things up, so to speak,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And isn't that what happens, you know? It's an amazing message that we have here when we read these accounts.
All right, I'm going to continue in verse 10 of Acts 17.
Okay.
I'm going to read through verse 15.
All right.
And the brothers immediately set Paul and Silas away to Berea. They, when they arrived, went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and quite a few of honorable Greek women and men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica knew that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also to stir up the people. And then immediately the brothers sent Paul away to go towards the sea. But both Silas and Timothy stayed there. And those conducting Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command to Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So, some interesting things here.
Yes.
They're being searched for, being persecuted where they were. So they went away by night in secrecy to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews right away.
Mm.
They're not hiding.
No, they're not.
They're there to preach the gospel. What does it say here in verse 11 about the people of Berea?
In this translation, it calls them more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And the thing was, they didn't just take Paul's word for it.
Yeah.
If these men preach something, they didn't just say, well, that sounds good. Where many of us will sit in a church, we hear the pastor, and we say, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He went to school for this, so he knows it.
He wouldn't deceive me.
That's what we all think.
Yeah.
But they didn't just take his word for it. They didn't say, well, he's wrong, but they searched not what the church teaches, but what the Bible said. They searched the scriptures, it says, daily, not just once in a while, to find out that these things, whether they were true or not.
It says in the modern King James, they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Yeah.
They were
willing.
Their minds were looking for truth.
Right.
But they wanted to be sure. They didn't want to be deceived. And their source of truth were the scriptures.
Yeah. You know, Ed, I asked you this a week or two ago. But I'm going to ask you again. Has this ever happened to you?
Yes.
Okay. Where someone came to you.
You know, we met in 2012, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and we were involved in doing some evangelism.
We were.
There was a large group of people from different churches that came together and wanted to do evangelism. They wanted to preach the gospel.
Yes, it was tremendous.
And we had a great turnout that first year in 2012.
We did.
But then in 2013, the world was turned upside down, it seems, in terms of this group wanting to preach the gospel. All of a sudden, there was a bunch of disruption. Most everybody left. And people were saying, well, that Mark, he teaches something weird, something, don't be around him, don't. And I overheard Rick talking to you one day saying, why don't people just ask you what you believe instead of talking about what they think you believe? So one day I asked you, Rick and Mary, invited you over to my house to share with me what you believe. And it was about 3 weeks later that you guys came over. But during that time, I'd been studying. I saw some things in the Bible that preachers I had great respect for were saying that the Bible says, when it's obvious by reading the words on the page, the Bible didn't say what they were saying.
Right.
So I was praying during those 3 weeks. I was praying three things. I was praying the promise of James 1. If you lack wisdom, ask it of God. He will give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed the prayer of John 16, that where Jesus promises to send the Spirit of truth to guide you in all truth. And I prayed that I wouldn't be deceived.
Right.
Prior to the time spent with you and Rick and Mary, when we studied John 17, and because of that as well, I had to make a choice. Do I believe what my church teaches? And I know, I'm sure, I'm positive my church has the truth.
We all want to believe that.
Or do I believe that God has answered my prayer when I ask for wisdom and understanding of His Word, and I see the words on the page and it says something different? I have to make a choice.
Right.
What do I believe? Who do I believe?
Yeah.
I personally chose to believe God's Word.
That's what we see in this account. You've experienced this.
Yes.
And it's not easy, is it, Ed?
No, it's not. But I'll tell you one thing. I didn't stop searching.
Right.
And I haven't stopped.
The search
now.
Isn't over.
I wanted to make sure of the things that I saw. I wanted to make sure the whole Bible says the same thing. I wanted to make sure of what else these words on the page lead to into things I don't know. And the Bible has been so open to my mind and to my heart to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way I could never have imagined before, simply because I continue to pray those prayers of wisdom and knowledge and for the Spirit of truth to give me understanding.
So was there any, did this cost you anything?
It did. Not in a way a lot of people experience the cost of following Christ. A lot of people get kicked out of their church. They're told, don't study with them, don't have anything to do with them at varying degrees and levels. I continued, during that time, Prophecies of Hope started our own little fellowship. We had our own little church time together.
Right.
And so I was participating in that. Yet the other church I went to, I was still teaching a Bible study there.
Right.
And I continued to do that for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad.
And I remember we had talked about, I don't know what I should do. How should I keep teaching? But God showed me when it was time for me to leave. Because what they wanted me to teach, what the church taught, I could not find the Bible. So I left then.
Yeah, right.
You know, I didn't have the experience of some churches where they teach their memberships have nothing to do with these people.
Right.
But in the long term, that's pretty much what has happened over a period of time.
Yeah, it's not that people ignore you, but the friends that you had there have just kind of dissipated.
Yeah.
Right? And if you see them, they're cordial.
Right.
And, you know, my background was a little different. I've been shunned.
Yeah.
But, you know, what a beautiful testimony you give, because this shows the power of God's Word.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, we have to check what we've been taught all of our lives. And even now, you know, we don't have all truth here.
I'll tell you, anyone who's listening to any of our programs, don't take my word for it.
Right.
Look into God's word for yourself. Don't make my faith your faith. Make your faith based on what the Word of God says, not what a preacher says, not what a church teaches, not what Prophecies of Hope teaches.
Amen.
Mark, Rick, Ed, Mary, whoever.
Right. That's right.
Make it your own.
Make it your own. And this is what we see here. And so when you hear us say the statement, be a Berean,
yes,
this is the account that's being referred to right here. That these people, they went back to make sure that this man, this Saul who had become Paul, a powerful Pharisee who knew the Scriptures, if anybody would know them, he would know them. And they would go back and say, well, let's make sure this guy is telling us right.
Right.
So when we say it, go back to the Bible and make sure that we're sticking to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see something that we've said that's not, please email us and let us know.
Yeah.
You know, we want to know. We want to know.
All right. So let's continue on to see some more things that Paul experienced. Let's continue on in verse 16 of Acts chapter 17. Verse 16, but awaiting them in Athens, Paul's spirit was pained with him, seeing the city full of idols. Then he indeed addressed the Jews in the synagogue and those worshiping, and daily in the market to those happening to be there. And certain philosophers from the Epicureans and from the Stoics met him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Another said, he seems to be an announcer of foreign demons because he preached Jesus and the resurrection to them. And taking hold of him, they led him to the Areopagus, saying, we are able to know what is this new doctrine of which you speak. They wanted to know what he's talking about.
Right.
Verse 20, for you bring certain strange things to our ears. Therefore, we are minded to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers who were there spent their time in nothing else except to tell or hear something newer. So here, Paul and Silas have gone to Athens.
Right.
Which is, I assume, a big city back in that time.
I would think.
And seeing the city was full of idols. Now, what is an idol?
You know, an idol is something that we worship. It's have you ever heard of idolizing something?
Yeah.
It can be an image. It can be something that we carve out of wood. It can be our job can be our idol. Anything we put before God.
Maybe someone who performs as a singer or an actor or something.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, posters were the big thing. And you go to a buddy's house and he might have a poster of some sports figure up on the wall. And that's who he idolizes, so to speak.
So what would make something like that an idol? How could you say that person or that activity they made an idol of?
If we put anything in front of our service to God and Christ, that becomes an idol.
Right.
My job, that can be a form of idolatry. If I say, you know, I know that God requires that I rest on the Sabbath, but, you know, I really like money, so I'm going to continue to do these things. That means that the money has become my idol.
Yeah.
I put it before God. And it's not to say that you can't have a favorite sports figure or a favorite singer, but where do we place them?
Right.
Do I begin to talk like them and dress like them? Because we become like the God that we worship, don't we?
Right. Now, Satan can attack us in these areas. Let's say I'm financially in a hard place.
Right.
Do I obey God or do I disobey him by working on the Sabbath or doing a job where I shouldn't be involved in, whatever it is.
Do we trust that God will provide what we need?
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between what we need and what we want.
Yeah.
And I do believe that God provides what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
So just to take a look at this, just an overview. So he comes to this place and, you know, think about this man, Paul, and what he has experienced. He knows what the law of God says. He knows that we should not bow down to idols.
Right.
He knows the commandments. Yet, I notice that as we read this account, as we read through, he doesn't come down on them for that.
Right. He's preaching the gospel to them. And apparently, Athens is known for their intelligent thinkers, philosophers.
Yeah.
And so when they hear what Paul is saying, they call him a babbler.
Yeah, that word is related to the word Babylon, which is confusion.
Yeah.
So they're saying this man speaks confusion.
He's another said that he seems in verse 18 that he seems to be an announcer of foreign demons.
Yeah, that's
right. Because he preached Jesus and the resurrection to them. You know, Christ was resurrected.
Yeah. And a lot of people back then did not believe in the resurrection.
Yeah.
And others may have believed that when you die, you go on to some sort of an afterlife immediately.
And, you know, I don't know if this is a knock on the city of Athens and those that live there, but in verse 21 it says, "For all the people in Athens and strangers who were there spent their time in nothing else except to tell or to hear something new."
Well, it sounded like they were very into education.
Yeah.
You know, today a lot of people are, one of the idols is, I want more education. I want to know as much as I can know.
So what is Paul's response to all this? Can you start reading in verse 22?
Sure, yes. Verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God.'" Now, in my Bible, that's all capitalized.
Yes.
All caps, every letter. It says, "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Now, I want to stop here for just a moment because we're running out of time quickly. And maybe we can pick it up here next week.
All right. Okay.
But I don't want to leave a cliffhanger. But when we look at this and we see, you know, remember, Paul is this, he's a Pharisee.
Yeah.
He was. And so he knows that having these idols in God's eyes is wrong.
Right.
He didn't condemn them.
No. He says, "I can see you're searching for this unknown God."
Yes, he's commending them.
"Let me tell you about him."
That's exactly what this is telling us. So he sees all of these, just so to put it in a nutshell, he looks around this place and he sees all of these idols with all of these names of the false gods.
Yeah.
And then they have this one statue there that says, "To the unknown God." And what he's telling them is, you know, you do this, you're commended for putting this up, but I'm going to tell you about this God you don't know.
Yeah.
And then he begins to preach to them.
Right.
And he gives this mini sermon that's so powerful. And I think that's where we should pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
And just kind of look at that a little bit. And, you know, this has been tremendous. Ed, I want to thank you for sharing your personal testimony.
Sure.
It's really, personal testimonies are so powerful. And I can't believe an hour has gone by this quickly.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead.
Let me just share one thing.
Sure.
Since that time, through our study of God's Word, your beliefs have changed.
Absolutely.
And my beliefs have changed.
We have both grown, and we've learned from our studies together that we were, even when we met, and I thought I was right, you thought you were right, we were both wrong.
Yeah.
Well, friends, we were going to go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off. So let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word and the witness that these men gave. Father, may we be faithful witnesses to your Son, Jesus Christ, in every chance we have. May we be as faithful as these men of old to be able to stand up and for your truth and preach the gospel to others in any situation. Please be with us until we come together again next week. We thank you for this time, and Father, we ask for your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you for being here, and maybe next week we'll have a guest. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And, friends, we hope you tune in with us next week. Don't forget, we're here at 7 p.m. every Sunday, New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.